Welcome to the Brand Thomas Podcast with Louise Duffy, the podcast which introduces you to the people behind the brands from the worlds of fashion, beauty and beyond. In today's podcast, I'm joined by the fashion director of Brand Thomas, Shelley Corkery. Shelley is without doubt one of the most influential names in Irish fashion. A key tastemaker, she travels continuously all over the globe to top fashion houses like Dior, Prada and Gucci to bring their latest collections home to Brand Thomas. Every year, she curates a very special showcase to support the very best and brightest in Irish design with her brainchild Create. And every Christmas, she brings drama and magic to the floors of Brand Thomas with the Marvel Room. She knows this business inside out, from the shop floor to each individual department. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brand Thomas Podcast. Shelley Corkery, Fashion Director of Brand Thomas. Welcome to the Brand Thomas Podcast. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good morning, Louise. Nice to see you.
So it's great to get some time to chat with you because you have an incredibly busy role as Fashion Director of Brand Thomas, and it looks exciting and glamorous, but it's hard work. So can you describe a typical day in your life?
Okay, well, I suppose it's, yes, it's very exciting. It is glamorous, but at the same time, it's really, really intensive work because it is, you're on the go at all times, which is probably not for the faint-hearted. Mm-hmm. So it is a very, very fast-moving business, as in retail. So it's very important that your mindset is in place every day, because every day brings a new action, a new project, a new buy, a new brand, a new supplier, whatever the case may be. It's very exciting in retail at the moment because there's so much change in retail. And I think it's a very interesting time to be in it because, you know, we've been through the, you know, the buy and sell, whereas now with online coming on board and all this new street fashion and the way people are buying, omni-channel and all of these things, it really is much more diversified.
Yes.
So those are all interesting things. And I think, you know, we're all learning about those things, so nobody knows it all, and whoever knows which way is going to be the most successful in the end, but it's all trial and error, and I think that's very exciting, seeing the changes and moving with the times.
And as well as keeping on top of that constant evolution of the shopping experience, travel is a huge part of your role. You're on the move for about 6 months of the year, is that right?
Yes, we would travel 6 months of the year.
Wow.
It's, yes, at different times and usually at the same times mostly. Come January, the beginning of the year, we would be setting out our ways for the first 3 weeks in January. Yeah. And then I would leave around the 20th of January, literally for, I think until Patrick's Day, usually I come back. Wow. And I would be solidly on the markets at that point. Mm. And that's a different business than what I would do when I come back, because when you're traveling, you're working from your mobile all the time.
Of course.
You're not sitting in on the trade meetings and the regular everyday meetings, but you are obviously in touch with your business on a hourly, weekly, daily basis at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a different way for those weeks. And then when you come back in March, it's landed in Ireland. And at that point, it's back to trade meetings, master plan meetings, buyers meetings. Every day brings something new. And they're all kind of set in place on Mondays and Tuesdays, all of those meetings, which are really good days because it sets you up for the week. And then the rest of the week, it's all about what's going on in the business in the retail world.
So on the travel side of things, a lot of people live vicariously via Instagram. We see fashion weeks happening all across in the big four. And it looks like it's so much fun and it's parties and you're meeting your designers, but it's hard work. It has to be.
Yeah, it is hard work, but it's really fun as well at the same time. If you love it, you'll love it. And I think you can't look at it like a job because it really is like an addiction.
Yeah.
And I think if you love fashion, you'll love doing what I do. And what I do is my title is fashion director. So I direct all the fashion buying in the business in women's wear.
Yeah.
I work over children's wear as well. So I keep close to that. And now I'll work with lingerie and swim as well, which will be very interesting. So that's all new.
As if there wasn't enough. Job in your day.
But at least we've got teams of buyers in every division, which is, you know, obviously, you know, the business is elevating, it's growing and it's expanding all the time. New brands. So, you know, there's teams of people in every division. So it's wonderful that you've got people in every angle looking after the detail and driving the business in the same direction as you.
Of course.
And once you stay close to all of these decisions and all of these, I suppose, decisions from in terms of brands and in terms of growth, those are very important. important things for my business. Yeah. The other part of the business that I would be super, super involved in is the shoe business, which is a really, really interesting business. And that there's been a lot of change in our shoe business over the last 10 years as well. Mm-hmm. Shoe business has gone from strength to strength. And obviously with all the trends, with the sneaker trend or the boot trend coming back and all of those changes, you have to be on top of and drive. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the most important thing for me is to see the opportunities as they come. Mm-hmm. And you may have teams of buyers on everything, but it's probably more my job to be able to push the buyers to grow the businesses and develop the key trends and the key brands that we're working with and grow them at the right time.
And you speak about the relationships you have with your buying teams, and there has to be a level of trust in their taste and their gut instinct as to what will work. How does the buyer's mindset differ to the consumer's mindset? Because if I love something and I have the money, I'll buy it. But a buyer has to be a lot more focused and considered in their purchases, obviously.
Yes, yes. Well, I suppose there's all different types of buyers. And obviously the fashion buyer is different than the shoe buyer or whatever. But at the same time, the buyer has to be very much in touch with the customer.
Yeah.
And I think where we, I think, shine here through is we know our customer very well and we're very close to our customer. And I think in Brand Thomas, our business is hugely focused on local business and the people who live in Ireland, who live throughout the country, shop locally in Brand Thomas, and it's the one luxury store. So I think, you know, most of the people who shop in the store, we would know.
Yeah.
And I think through personal shopping and through all the different divisions, they've built up teams of personal shopping and private shopping businesses. Mm-hmm. So they know their customers very, very well are in touch with them on a daily basis or a weekly basis, whatever the case may be. So I suppose they've built up these businesses and they're hugely, hugely important to the business because they know what the customer wants and they know what they're looking for. They know when they're in the country, they know when they need their wardrobes, and they stay very close to the buying team.
Yeah.
So that all interconnects very, very well. And I think that's where we shine through, I think, more easily, whereas a lot of stores around the world are much bigger and much more vast and probably aren't as close to their customer.
It's hard to have that connection. Yeah.
Well, they rely on tourism and they never know who's coming and they don't know the changes in the trends, different nationalities coming through.
So would a buyer, say a buyer for level one, and you've got the most exquisite designers on level one, would your buyers be aware of the various customers and say, I think I know somebody who would really appreciate that particular item? That's amazing, isn't
it? Yeah, on the buys, I mean, I would sit in on the buys and all the top end of the business, the designer wear, because obviously that's the most expensive purchasing. And that would be probably my true DNA if it'd be known as in the fashion world. And I suppose those brands are very, very expensive and each individual piece costs quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
So the girls on the floor would be very, very close to the customer and would be feeding back the buyers and me at all times on what's, you know, who's looking for what. So we would know the events that are coming up, obviously. We would be very close to the customers. And the customers who shop in the store will be very close to the girls who work on the floor.
Okay. So back to the travel aspect of your role. And for us, living vicariously, enjoying fashion weeks via Instagram and street style shots, it looks like so much fun and it looks incredibly glamorous, but it has to be very hard work because you're probably trying to get to as many shows as possible. Could it be up on 10 a day? Is it that busy?
Probably not quite 10, but we definitely could go to 4 to 5 in some days.
Okay, I mean,
there's a schedule. No, there's a schedule of shows, but it's not just shows we do. I mean, we would travel to say to the first fashion week would be New York, which kicks off early February. And then we would go straight on to London, drop into Ireland, sorry, for one day, change your bag and go straight to London for 5 days, drop home for a day and a half and straight into Milan for 5 days, and then drop home. And Paris then is the long event, and that is a 2 week event. So those shows would be, we would go to Paris for 2 weeks solidly through the weekend, and we would have 4 to 5 shows a day. But it's not just the shows. You're up early in the morning. You've got a team of buyers with you. Mm-hmm. So there's breakfast meetings early in the morning to catch everyone's day, see what everybody's doing and make sure everyone's on the same page. And then you've got your shows. But in between your shows, you might have breaks. So you would go see a new brand or you would meet up with some of the other buyers and have a coffee and catch up and see what the other department stores are doing. You would go see new brands. You would have a list of appointments and go-sees and newness and new brands. And then you've got to develop your relationships with your existing brands. So you have to be going in and out of all the brands at all times. And for me, if I can't sit on every buy, which would be near to impossible, I would definitely sit on most buys at the top end of the business. business, which would be the luxury houses. But in contemporary, I mightn't get to all of the brands. Mm-hmm. So I would have to go drop by to have a, you know, to have a look through the collection, yeah, a walk through, and give the buyer, you know, an idea where I see, you know, the growth or the development or the key pieces would lie.
Wow, it is frantic.
It is so because you're building brands, number one, you're building relationships, number two, which is hugely important. Mm-hmm. The brands are supporting you at all costs, because we don't look to the brands just for the collection. We'd be talking to the brands about doing pop-ups in store. We would be talking to the brands about doing exclusives. We'd be talking to the brands about development within the the budgets, in other words, the growth. And then again, if the brand isn't performing, we'd want to know why. Therefore, we'd throw it back to them. And then there's a debate whether, you know, they're going to take back stock, whether we're going to buy more, whether we're going to pull back. And that also causes an argument. So I suppose in my role, I have to listen, and you've got to be very good in negotiating with the brand, you know, so that everybody gets the fair deal and we can develop the brand, but we need help in some ways, whether the collection is weaker some seasons. So therefore, we need them to help us out with support.
Right. It is not a job you could do if you didn't feel incredibly passionate about fashion and retail, which you evidently are.
I think what I would be probably would be, I would be very, I think the most important thing I suppose I learned in my life was to be very much a bird's eye view thinker. Mm-hmm. So I would overlook the business at all times. So I always step back, and I think that's a very important thing to do. Yeah. You have to step back, because the balance of your floor has to be right. So in terms, and that would be in terms of price, in terms of diversity, in terms of different customers' needs and requirements. And also it would be very important to overlook your business, that you've got casual wear right through to top end evening wear. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge focus on lots of things. So it's not just the brand mix, the diversity of the customer, the casual, I mean, you know, the customer's wardrobe, I suppose. And then again, the age groups of the customers that are shopping in the store, you know, you've got to, you know, you can't be all things to all people, but you've got to try and do your best. And I think, you know, what we achieve here is we've got a great mix of brands, and then we've got a great team of buyers. So the buyers are very close to the brands, so we all get to discuss the brands, and therefore I think we can spend a lot more time in dissecting the brand with the supplier, and taking the time to actually go through what's working, what's not working, because you have to be on it all the time, and you have to be actively changing it at all times.
So the incredible diversity of brands within Brand Thomas is ever evolving. And there are brands that I see arriving on the floor that I wouldn't have expected, like Lululemon or Maria Tash's place on the level two. Why have you decided to go down these different routes?
Okay, well, they were a long time in the coming, because, I mean, brands like Lululemon, you know, wasn't in Ireland at the time. It was something I actually saw when I was in Canada many, many years ago. And it was something I'd been chasing. I think it took 6 years of negotiation, and that was the longest ever to bring a brand. I hope that every brand wouldn't take that long. But that took a very, very long time to come, because they never, ever dealt with department stores when we approached them. And I just feel things like that, I suppose we've kind of felt every department store in the world does different things. And I suppose a lot of department stores can get to become very similar. And I suppose I was often thinking they can't all be the same, because they can't all be about the same mix of brands. So it was about shaking it up and thinking outside the box and thinking about things that were different and diverse. So there's so much apparel, and there's so much you can do on level two. And we were thinking, what else can we do that would shake it up and, you know, bring people in from a different point of view? So that's where the Lululemon project came from. Chasing them for that amount of time was a long time, but eventually when they did come over, they couldn't believe the store. They loved our ideas and our concept about putting it up here on level two. It worked with the customer for Ireland, obviously, very easily, or slipped into the business very, very, very easily, because it's been hugely successful. But I suppose putting them in their own area and then working with Offspring, which is the sneaker brand, and doing that on the side wall, I think it was a wonderful collaboration.
It fitted so well.
Yes, it fitted so well, and it was something they had never thought about doing because they don't do shoes. So the fact that we were doing it for them with another brand and bringing that together was really, really thinking of the customer, and the customer was obviously going to buy Lululemon, would be looking for a pair of runners. So that was a stroke of genius at that point, and that worked so, so well. So that was hugely successful. And I suppose then looking at that floor with everything else was apparel, and looking at things that we could do differently. And then I think it was 1 year in New York where I spotted Maria Tash on Broadway, West Broadway, and just thinking, oh my God, you know, piercing or, you know, tattooing wasn't kind of up my street, but piercing certainly was. So we approached Maria Tash mm-hmm. then, asking them about doing something, and then obviously spotting it in London, thinking, oh my goodness. So those guys, we went to meet and came over, loved the store, walked them through the store mm-hmm. and then started negotiation with that. And I thought that was a great idea because it brought a different type of customer in. At the same time, it was the fashion customer, because piercing is so big mm-hmm. and she is obviously the most incredible piercer, bespoke piercer oh, absolutely. In the world. And she was really, really easy to work with. And I felt that was something different and diverse. And again, it was thinking as the box about not just selling apparel mm-hmm. and it was thinking about theatre and thinking about other opportunities for the customer to do things in store that they wouldn't have been coming to Brown mm-hmm. Thomas for. So again, it's diversifying and building your business yeah. And bringing new things and new opportunities and new activities to the store.
And Brown Thomas has always been a very active voice in the conversation around sustainability. So do you think that there ever might be a space for resellers in Brown Thomas? Is that something that could happen?
Well, we've done lots of collaborations over the last 6 months. We did several with Vestiaire Collective, yes. which have done really, really well and been hugely successful. And we've invited all our customers in to bring whatever they feel is suitable mm-hmm. to meet with the Vestiaire team. Okay. And that has been really, really well received by the customer, because I suppose everybody's got quite a lot of clothes at yeah. this point in their wardrobe. And, you know, the landfill problems and all of these problems with them. Buying too much and mm-hmm. having too much clothes is definitely, you know, a problem for the, you know, global warming, for the planet and mm-hmm. everything that goes with it. So we as a business are very, very focused on this. I mean, we're looking at everything from the carbon footprint to the lightings in the store to pull back on the energy. We're looking at recycling all of our packaging, which has been really, really important. And we've actually come through that process at this point.
Brilliant.
We are looking at every single division because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I suppose as a business, we're very, very driven. And it's a huge, huge, huge focus for mm-hmm. us as a business on what's happening in the planet. And with all the climate changes, it has to be for the world.
Absolutely.
It has to change. It has to slow down. There's probably been too much produced over the last few years and all this palm oil problem and all of these other things that are going on have to be addressed sooner rather than later.
And it has to start with industries and companies like Brown Thomas, you know, the bigger companies to start making that change.
Well, I think the fashion industry is probably one of the biggest problem areas in that, and you know the amount of materials that are being used and the cotton and the amount of water that's being used for cotton, and you know with all this exotic skin coming down the road, you know all of these things have to be addressed and I think if we can address them one by one and make the change. I think
absolutely.
That's really, really vital.
It's vital, absolutely. You must have seen such change in your time in Brown Thomas. You know, technology has changed the retail experience, because if you like something, a press of a button and you have it. How is Brown Thomas evolving to maintain the attention of the customer with the distractions that exist?
Well, I suppose we're online now as a business. We are online and you know, the customer's got omni-channel, so with Endless Aisle, the customer can, you know, have access much easier to the products and the brands. And most of our business is online now, which is obviously hugely helpful. Mm-hmm. I think I suppose the brand makes the change of the way the world is happening, the visibility to the customer through Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody is all over social media at every given moment at this time. When you pop something up, it's just there, it's visible. And as you said, with the press of a button, they can actually have it. So I suppose it's the accessibility to having something quicker. But I do think people are thinking and they see what they want and they know what they want easier because they've seen it somewhere else and they know. And I suppose the opportunity to get that quicker is also much more aspirational.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that I do believe in is the luxury brands at the top end of the business in terms of ready to wear. I think, you know, that channel is definitely a different sort of animal, because I think people still want to come in, try and, you know, enjoy the moment. And I think, you know, omnichannel and bricks and mortar, I think the bricks and mortar side of that is the luxury side, where people want to touch and feel.
And have they that experience.
And they might want to, you know, view it and, you know, look online and, you know, get the information online, see what's in store, look at the brand mix, look at the actual fashion or the collections that are there.
Yeah.
But coming to the store, and I mean, as I said before, we have an amazing personal shopping team or private shopping members who actually are there. But to come in and shop and touch and feel and try, and I think it's sometimes in that area, mm-hmm. it's really important to get the, you know, the right shape for you or the right ideas from the girls on mm-hmm. the floor, because I think at the end of the day, it's very easy to look at it online, but until you try on and experience yeah. the different shapes and, you know, things and collections that are on store,
yeah.
it's a different experience.
And experiential retail is a growing trend as well, and I see that a lot in Brown Thomas, you know, with events and questions and answers yeah, on the floor.
Huge.
But also,
I think that's the difference between yeah. online as well, and not only is the experience of trying on, and, you know, which is what it's all about mm-hmm. in the end of the day, purchasing and buying beautiful clothes, and but the all the theatre in store to bring people in and to keep people in store has to be more exciting than it has been in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, the customer just doesn't want to come into the shop and shop anymore and just leave. They want to taste something new or feel something different. They want to, you know, get some monogramming done or personalisation yeah. or, you know, I mean, lots of projects we've worked on over the previous year, for instance, is the Create Project,
yes.
which is all the collaboration of the Irish designers mm-hmm. showcasing on Level One, which is a phenomenal project. And again, it's looking at the community mm-hmm. and supporting our own designers and giving them the opportunity to showcase our platform on our store, which is a hugely successful project. And again, they're coming in to see, to learn more about mm-hmm. what's going on in Ireland and their own community, and to look at the collections of the up and coming new and discovery, in other
yes.
words. And then there's the Marvel Room,
the
which
Marvel
is just
room
opened.
Is-
yeah.
spectacular
yeah.
it's just amazing to walk through.
That's a great
and that's
project
the, you know, I mean, you can't recreate that experience online. You just can't.
No it's, and that's something wow. that you have to come in, you have to see, you have to feel yeah. I mean, the whole atmosphere of it is exciting. It's Christmas
exciting.
feeling, and the diversity, I think, of the product there. And that project is an amazing project, and that's done right across the business through all divisions of mm-hmm. the business, which is a really good project because it brings everybody together. So the ready to wear buyers don't have to stick and buy ready to wear. They can come, and the, you know, it's carte blanche. They can come with new ideas. Mm-hmm. Menswear can buy women's wear can buy homewares. It doesn't really yeah. matter, and it gives everybody an opportunity to research online and see what else is out mm-hmm. there and bring back some fabulous things. And I think they've done a really, really good job. I mean, the accessories are beautiful, from Paco Rabanne yeah. to Fendi, and the beautiful Bottega bags, the clutch that's down there. And then I think the things that add to this is the tech edition mm-hmm. of tech. Smart tech is in the Marvel Room, and then the kids, all the bespoke dolls houses
and the cars
are amazing.
So
the
yeah.
pink Bentley and everything.
So
and that's beautiful.
It's obviously a passion project for you, Create
yeah.
and the Marvel Room.
Yeah.
And that just gives more diversity to an already
yeah.
packed
Yeah, but I think
job.
The mix in then, I think with all the circular fashion, in
yes.
other words, the Shopella mm-hmm. pop-up and the Vestiaire watch pop-up, and then also the Adams Auctioneers collaboration,
wow.
which is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's all that magnificent antique jewellery
mm-hmm.
That's on view, which is, I mean, out of this world.
So it's ever changing. There's always something different happening in Brown Thomas. 2020 then, what can we look forward to?
Well, 2020, I'm sure there'll be so many new things, so
sure
many new
will.
Brands. Mm-hmm. And every year, I mean, particularly, I suppose, with the speed of change mm-hmm. that's happening at the moment, we've definitely come through the last 3 years with such change and such amount of newness. I mean, on Level 2, I think over half of the brands are new on that floor yeah. in the last 2 years, for sure, with the development of the Gannies and Rixos. Mm-hmm. And then we've obviously developed our jeans bar, and then with activewear with Lululemon popping up on that floor, and Offspring has been phenomenally mm-hmm. successful as well. So that floor has gone through a transformation. I think that the ground floor is our project we're working on at the moment. So
okay.
there's lots of change on the ground floor there. So that'll all come into play in 2020 at the second half.
Okay.
And that's a big project as well. That's obviously, project was opened 5 years now. It's the ground floor has been changed, where we changed beauty over to the
yes.
left side of the store, and we opened up all of our luxury boutiques.
And is that the lifespan of a change? So, I mean, it still feels quite new to me.
I know,
but
it still feels quite
again.
New. But again, there's
yeah.
growth. There's yeah. brands that need more space.
Okay.
There's brands that are screaming for more space, and these luxury brands will always need more because they're developing quite, you know, at a pace.
Mm-hmm.
And when when you see brands like Louis Vuitton and, you know, Chanel and Hermes are really, really big luxury brands, at different times they will need, you know, to change their boutiques, investment and more space. So we're looking at a big project for next year on that floor, and also bring in one or two new brands, which we have to create space for. And as we say to the brands, we don't have elastic walls.
Okay.
Therefore, so we have to fit them in our footprint. And that's always a hard one because, you know, what do you lose to bring in more? And you want to bring in new brands, and there's, you know, big, big new brands, luxury brands that are out there that really want to be in our store. But at the same time, what do you exit to, or do you exit? Do you move them to another floor?
Okay.
So I suppose this brings on change by lifting other some parts of our business to different floors. Mm-hmm. And this is a project we're working on at the moment. So
now you're responsible for bringing so many incredible brands to our awareness. So you know these brands quite intimately. So if I was to ask you to pick a favorite or pick one designer to dress you forevermore, who would it be? That is a hard question.
It is, because there's so many. I mean, gosh, I'm a great Christian Dior fan. Firstly, I think Maria Grazia Chiuri has done an amazing job with Dior through shoes, through bags, and through ready to wear. So I'm a big fan. Miuccia Prada is always a hot favorite, of mine. I think she's amazing, and I think what she does with her brand, particularly this year, I've worn quite a lot of her collection, and I think she just comes up with something alternative that you would not think about. I mean, the year she came out with the Catalogue and the flames coming out of the back of the wedge.
Yeah.
I mean, she's amazing. She's so diverse and so, you know, such an innovator.
And so playful, but, you know,
and
she keeps
so
her classic
playful.
Trends,
she does, and she keeps it young and cool. And at the same time, I think there's lots more to be done within that brand. I think she can even bring that younger and cooler. And I think every year she brings something new. And I love that about the Prada brand. The other brand that, I mean, obviously Phoebe Philo is a big miss in the fashion world. I mean, she was amazing. What she did with Celine was superb, and really I do miss her because I think she had a very, very wide audience. I think she covered such an amount of fashion. It wasn't all short, tight fitted, and it wasn't all big and oversized. I think she was minimalistic, but again, she was an innovator. She was ahead of, she always, you know, she made you think differently all the time. Every season she came up with something that you would make you stand back and think, wow, and then you were loving it, leaving the showroom that same day.
Absolutely,
So I thought she was creatively a genius.
Yeah.
So she would be a very hot favorite of mine, but obviously she's not in any brand right now. Who else would I think? I mean, I love what Balmain are doing. I mean, what they do is, you know, fantastic, and it sells so brilliantly. Givenchy, again, a great brand for us in the store, and doing really well. And Alexander McQueen. I think Sarah Burton has done a great job on Alexander McQueen. Yeah, and we have a huge business in ready-to-wear, women's wear with Alexander McQueen. I think particularly this season and the coming season is very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And she's used in her collection for next season, which will be spring-summer 20. She's used an awful lot of Irish linens and Irish lace, and she's worked very closely with lots of the ateliers and the factories here in Ireland, and it's a wonderful collection, and I thought her show was particularly beautiful.
And speaking of Irish creations, then, you know, you have spearheaded Create and you're so supportive of Irish designers. Who's the most exciting and innovative designer in Ireland?
Well, I think obviously Louise Kennedy has done so well, and she's done brilliantly, and we're so proud to have Louise on our floor, and she's gone from strength to strength, and she's just, I mean, she's beautiful evening wear, beautiful tailoring, and she's amazing. Lucy Nagel, obviously, for her cashmeres. Yeah. Lucy's been fabulous, and Lucy was one of the founder members of Create. She was discovered in that project, and she's gone from strength to strength over I think 5-6 year period maybe at this point, and she's in every door of our business, every Brand Thomas door, and with her cashmeres, and she's really developing her collection through her knitwear, her cashmeres, and now her loungewear.
So for kiddie wear as well, I saw today.
She's
exciting.
Amazing, and she's a great worker, and she's fantastic and really easy to work with. So I love seeing the development of and Sarah O'Neill, who will be in the Marvel Room. She's due to land next week, and she's come through the Create project as well, and she's done very well each time we do Create. So we'll love to see Sarah rise within the business. And so I think, you know, there's lots happening. And I think the more we see coming through and create is, you know, a great opportunity for people. Lena Q, I mean, with her knitwear in the designer rooms, has done extremely well. And I've worked with Lena for a very, very long time. So it's great to see her, you know, resilience and, you know, her growth in the floor. And she's always coming up with her beautiful cashmeres and her cardigans. And she's also popping up in the Marvel room with her scarves.
You obviously have such a vision and you're very innovative in what you've done in Brand Thomas and the brands you've brought in. I think that's something that you can't teach somebody. That just has to be inherent in you.
I think, but I think it's your feeling your way all the time, you know, because nobody knows it all. Everybody's learning the whole way. But I think what it is probably, Louise, is about having your eyes open and your eyes peeled for newness all the time and listening to what's going on in the world and talking to people and looking at your business from a different point of view all the time. And again, back to the bird's eye view of your business and just not seeing and never, ever seeing that, oh yeah, it's fine, it's okay, because it's never fine and it's never okay. You always need more and you always need to change. And I suppose that's the one thing about our business is it's always changing and it will always change. Therefore, you've got to have the energy to change with it and bring newness, and you've got to always be looking. And I mean, what is the next Maria Tash? What is the next Lululemon? And I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, gym gear at leisure wear or piercing. It's going to be something different. So we are always looking, and those opportunities, we have to be ready to snap up when they come across.
Taste is obviously very subjective, and you have impeccable taste. And, you know, what is it ever necessary for you to park that and perhaps buy into a trend that you mightn't ever see on yourself, but you know that the bigger customer base will appreciate?
Yes, I do, because I mean, everybody's got their own taste, and everybody, you know, I mean, it would be terrible if we were all the same, and lots of people love lots of different things. And I suppose diversity is, you know, such an incredible thing, and it's a word I probably have used a lot today, but I use it because I do think that everybody has something new to bring. And I think, you know, sometimes when, you know, designers like I've mentioned earlier, Phoebe Philo or Miuccia Prada, bring new things, we mightn't always love them at that time, but it might take you a few moments. But lots of times when we're in a showroom looking at maybe the new tractor sole boot, thinking, oh, but by time it's, you've been, you know, seen it on, talked about it, discussed it, heard the history behind it, the story why, you all of a sudden, you know, move with it, and all of a sudden you're coming out loving it. So
amazing, you know,
things grow in you, and you know, it's about adapting and it's about understanding and listening and seeing, and you know, the mix of, you know, and putting them together differently. So I suppose we're learning all the time, which I think is lovely, but I suppose you've got to be smart enough to grab onto it quite quickly and move with it, and not ever close off a trend or not ever close off a taste, because you know, it goes around and round and round.
So what you've created within Brand Thomas over the course of your reign as fashion director has been inspirational, and you, as I said, have introduced us to so many brands. But it started with buying, and as I said, so many people aspire to have a career in buying. Is there one piece of advice you would give them?
Yeah, I would say definitely to do buying, you should go and work on a shop floor, whether it's Brand Thomas or whatever. I would definitely go into a department store and work on the shop floor for 1 to 2 years. And I think you will learn so much about fashion, about retail, how hard it is in terms of, you've got to love it to be resilient, to stick it out, because I think it's got so many different angles from buying to selling. And retail is a very fascinating business, and it is very addictive. I think you've got to be very driven, because you've got to really, really love that buy sell. And I always believe in a business, if you've got the best buyers and the best people to sell it, you've got a successful business.
Shelley, it has been a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to share and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.